From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I do not think that I am breaking new ground if I tell you that there are plenty of Georgia fans who don't love Auburn coach Gus Malzahn for a number of reasons, whether it be the dog crap comment after Auburn beat Georgia back in November. Of course, Georgia did get its revenge against Auburn for that, 28-7, in the game we called Dog Nation Retaliation, so that may be water under the bridge now. But Malzahn is the coach of the rival Auburn Tigers, and therefore there's going to be a bit of a opportunity for some bad blood between these two schools. But that doesn't mean that everything that Gus Malzahn says is problematic. Doesn't mean that everything, every idea that Malzahn has is necessarily a bad idea. And Malzahn, speaking on his own behalf to sort of further his own needs, on a recent radio interview said something that I actually think a lot of Georgia fans may sort of agree with. Now, they don't like the words coming out of Malzahn's mouth. They don't like the way they sound when he speaks them. But the overall general idea is actually, I think, something that both Auburn and Georgia can agree with. And on a Monday like this, late in the month of May, it seems sort of a perfect time to sort of talk about the way things ought to be. And maybe for Georgia and Auburn, there is something about the Deep South's oldest rivalry that maybe ought to be a little different than it is. The radio program that Malzahn goes on is called Three Man Front. It's there on WJOX, a sports radio station that I cite often in Birmingham. They talk a lot of college football, so it's one of the reasons why I like the station. Malzahn's there with the hosts. They ask him about the nature of rivalry games, and Malzahn, you know, goes on to sort of – and actually, let me give you a little bit more context. In the past, there has been some talk of the fact that Auburn and Georgia play – so late in the month of November, and then Auburn turns around and plays Alabama like 2 weeks later. This past year, for instance, you know, maybe that took something out of Auburn. This is what the Auburn fan might try to tell you for the SEC championship game. But Malzahn kind of pivots away from that idea and suggests something instead that, I do think Georgia fans might kind of agree with. Here is Malzahn on his wish for the future of rivalry scheduling for the Auburn Tigers.
I think the big thing is having them staggered, one at home and one away. Yeah. Would probably be the best for those two at the end. You know, last year was two at home, this year it's two away. And it looked back in 2010, you know, we played Georgia at home, we played Alabama away. And, you know, that would be my wish.
Now, listen, Malzahn says, hey, this may make things better for Auburn if we were able to play, you know, one of the rivals at home 1 year, the other at home the following year. If we could stagger those so you're not having to do like you did in 2017, play both at home, then have to play both on the road for 2018. He says maybe that makes Auburn better. Now, I don't know if it does or it doesn't. I know the audience of this show doesn't really care if it does and sort of hopes it doesn't. I do grant you that. But in terms of the idea that if you just flip-flop the scheduling of this rivalry, it might make things better for Auburn, I think Georgia fans would say it might make things better for Georgia, too. I mean, I know that scheduling is sort of a hot topic for UGA right now, and for the most part, fans seem sort of focused on the non-conference scheduling. I think Georgia fans liked playing at Notre Dame last season and looking forward to seeing the Irish come into Athens for 2019. But that's sort of more of a short-term issue. The more long-term issue is the traditional opponents that you play on a home-and-home basis every other year. And right now, Georgia is somewhat stacked with home games in 1 year at the expense of the following year. I mean, take a look at the home games that Georgia will play here in 2018. It's rivalry game versus Tennessee. It's rivalry game versus Auburn. It's rivalry game versus Georgia Tech. Those are all three home games here in this sort of even-year cycle. The following year, the odd-year cycle, you don't really have that marquee rivalry game. Now, you used to, going back before the 2012 SEC expansion, Auburn was sort of your even-year home game opponent, and Auburn was the odd-year home game opponent, and the even years belonged to the, you know, the Tennessees and the Georgia Techs of the world. Georgia, back in that era, you know, of the middle part of the, you know, early part of the decade, seemed to always acquiesce to whatever demand and wish the SEC had. Georgia agreed to go to Auburn 2 years in a row to sort of make the transition of Missouri and Texas A&M into the SEC a little more palatable. And, well, ever since then, the schedule for Georgia has kind of been off because of that. And I think it's, from Gus Malzahn's perspective, off here as well. So I'm guessing that if Georgia fans were to be asked about this, would you like to flip-flop this schedule and put Auburn back on the, you know, the odd-numbered years, you know, coming to Athens opposite the years that Tennessee and Georgia Tech come to Athens? I think most Georgia fans might kind of like that. This is one of those rare moments in which Gus Malzahn has an idea that may benefit Auburn, but in a roundabout way, it may actually benefit Georgia too. I think the one thing Dog fans would say, though, is in order to get this thing back and going here again, it's Auburn's turn to come to Georgia 2 years in a row, because obviously Georgia fans were frustrated having to go to Jordan-Hare Stadium a couple straight years, really just a few seasons ago. So that's kind of interesting stuff from Gus Malzahn. Speaking of scheduling, though, here's something else that I think is kind of interesting. Athlon Sports, and by the way, Athlon's college football preview magazines are on newsstands right now. We'll probably talk to Mitch Light from Athlon Sports later on in the week about both these magazines, the SEC preview, the big national college football preview, because there's already some pretty interesting stuff that I've read about Georgia in these magazines. Mitch Light's the editor of that. We'll probably bring him on the show to discuss this. But one of the things that Athlon had online the other day, and sort of in the mind of this scheduling conversation we're having right now, is with Georgia, with the schedule that it's playing this season, the expectation here is that the Georgia schedule is among the easiest in all of the SEC. In fact, according to Athlon Sports, it's the second easiest in the entire SEC. They recently ranked all the schedules. If you're watching on video, you can see this. If not, if you're listening either podcast form, radio form, I'll quickly read through this. Texas A&M, LSU, Auburn have the three toughest schedules in the SEC this season. Almost all three of these due to the fact that there's a big non-conference opponent. Texas A&M plays Clemson. That tells you everything you need to know there. LSU plays Miami, and Auburn plays Washington. Those big non-conference games put you in the top three. Tennessee's at four on this list, also kind of a big non-conference game. They play West Virginia, and Will Grier, the quarterback there, the former Gator, who might actually be one of the favorites to win the Heisman Trophy. So you get the understanding of why those four teams occupy the top four spots. Then you get Mississippi State, Missouri, Ole Miss, Florida, Arkansas, South Carolina, Kentucky, and then Alabama, Georgia, Vanderbilt. So Georgia, the second easiest schedule in the entire SEC, at least according to Athlon Sports. Now, I think there are a couple of reasons why this is true. When we mentioned this on, I believe it was SEC Country Live last week, somebody had a great response to this in the comment section, that one of the reasons why some of those schedules above Georgia on a list like this are viewed as tougher is because those teams have to play Georgia. You know, Georgia can't play itself, so therefore when you have a, you know, top four type team on your schedule, it's going to be a tougher schedule to play than the team that doesn't have that. And since Georgia is that top four, top three team in question, obviously the schedule becomes, you know, a bit easier. I think another reason why the Georgia schedule is viewed as somewhat easy in comparison to some of the others in the SEC is because of how big of a favorite Georgia's going to be in a lot of these games. And this isn't necessarily because of how bad these other teams that Georgia are playing are, or Georgia is playing are. It's also partially a factor in the fact that Georgia's just good enough to be a pretty heavy favorite in many of these games, which therefore diminishes the perception of the schedule. But one way or another, the schedule is what it is, and I believe what it is an opportunity for Georgia to take advantage of. Right now it is a scenario where Auburn is coming to Georgia this year. Maybe one day that'll change, but for now, you've got to play what's in front of you, and Georgia expects to be a big favorite in virtually every game it plays this season. And the pathway back to the college football playoff for Georgia means taking advantage of that and taking what looks to be easy games on paper and actually making them easy games on the field. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. It's good to have you with us, no matter how you get to us today. If you watch us on video, 10 a.m. on a lot of different video channels for you to check us out. Dog Nation Twitter page, Dog Nation YouTube page, Dog Nation Facebook page. Appreciate that. Appreciate you being a part of the program. We'll look forward to taking a lot of your comments on the air today as a part of our Dog Day Q&A later on. We'll actually revisit this Georgia-Auburn topic for that a bit later on, and you can weigh in on anything else you want to, and we'll monitor that throughout the show here today. We're also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and don't you know that David Johnston and Jeff Dantzler were having a great time on over the weekend as UGA baseball, the Diamond Dogs, take 2 of 3 from Arkansas after a really disappointing game on Thursday. 2 of 3 over the Hogs over the weekend. Don't you know that Jeff and Dave had a great call on that? 960 The Ref, proud to be the home of UGA baseball, especially this time of year as the Dogs head towards a fun postseason. We'll have more on that coming up in a moment. Also invite you to check us out in podcast form on Apple Podcasts, Android devices, SoundCloud, the world-famous DogNation.com. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And speaking of Marco's Pizza, they remind you to say hello to authentic Italian-quality pizza from Marco's, with dough made fresh in every store every day, the Italian way. You can order today from Marcos.com. We enjoyed some Marco's Pizza this weekend. In fact, we had Marco's Pizza 2 days in a row. Don't think my kids weren't loving the idea of that. We had my wife, my daughter's turned three over the weekend, so she had her birthday party over the weekend. Little Marco's pizza for the kids there at the party. That was a big hit. And then on Sunday, my son was supposed to have a baseball game, then it ended up getting rained out. And so sometimes after church and before the game, you're trying to get that quick lunch in, and a great deal from Marco's, two medium, two topping pizzas for $7.99 each. Just drive right by the Marco's on the way home and grab the pizzas, go home and enjoy that and get ready for baseball. Ultimately got rained out, but it was a good Marco's pizza weekend for us. We love the authentic Italian quality pizza that Marco's Pizza provides each and every time, and we're thankful to have them as part of Dog Nation Daily here today as well. Okay, so in a few minutes, it will be Chip Towers. We'll talk to him about a lot of subjects ranging around the world of UGA athletics right now. One of the things we'll talk to Chip about is, and you may have seen this, the social media photos that emerge online of Jake Fromm gets the fishing lure caught in his leg. We'll get some thoughts from Chip on that. I don't know that he has any new insider intel to bring us on that, but certainly a bit of a harrowing picture if you've ever had a fishing hook caught in you, fishing lure caught in you, and hopefully Jake Fromm's going to be okay. So we'll talk to Chip Towers about that in a moment. But as I said, it was also a big weekend for Georgia baseball. The Diamond Dogs, really in thrilling fashion, on Saturday, they end a game, you know, throwing the runner out at home, knocking off Arkansas, taking two of three from the Hogs there, and setting up Georgia nicely here in the postseason, earning a number three seed in the SEC tournament. Seems to be some thoughts that maybe Georgia's also helping itself with the NCAA as well. In fact, Mike Rooney, who worked with Dave Neal as the analyst on the SEC Network telecast on Saturday, here is what he said: the win for Georgia against Arkansas, taking two of three from the Razorbacks, here's what it means for the Diamond Dogs, according to Mike Rooney from the SEC Network.
I think for both teams, it locks up a top eight seed. For Georgia, they needed maybe one more signature series win. Arkansas is a big one. So I think for both teams, a lot of positives to take out of here. But this is a huge win for Georgia.
Okay, let's fast forward a little bit. We got the SEC tournament and then the big tournament, the NCAA tournament, yes, starts. Give me a quick synopsis.
I'll tell you, for Georgia, one thing that's concerning is they haven't hosted a regional in a long, long time around here. That's a unique experience. But every time I think that maybe the Georgia kids aren't up for something, they do it anyway.
Right. It's been since 2011. They've been to the NCAA tournament. We'll see how that they handle this trip to the postseason.
Yeah, the point that Rooney makes there may be a fair one. The postseason baseball at the college level is a far different animal than the regular season. As many of you who've either been to these games at Foley Field can attest, or if you've seen these kind of postseason games on television, the atmosphere is just much more intense, right? It's a fan base that knows college football well, and it really brings that sort of college football cheering mentality into the baseball game. It's one of the reasons why I love postseason college baseball. I've been to super regional games before. Many of you, you know, have populated Kudzu Hill back when that was a thing, and you know those various places around Foley Field and enjoyed some of this postseason baseball back in the Dave Perno era, maybe even going, you know, the Weber era before that, the Ron Polk era. You kind of remember that and you kind of know what that's like, and it's going to be kind of fun to see Georgia back in that environment once again once the SEC tournament's completed. But as the analyst brings up, Rooney brings up there, it is also something for this Georgia baseball team to deal with and be equipped to handle here, because these are games that are going to feel different than the games that Georgia's been playing all season long. But this is a team under Scott Strickland. You cannot say enough about the turnaround that Strickland's led here for UGA this season. They have responded well every single time a new challenge has been presented here. And my guess is this team is going to have some surprises in store here for the postseason as well. And it's great to be talking about Diamond Dogs postseason baseball, and really glad to see Georgia in the thick of that. They do play Wednesday, by the way, in the SEC tournament, and it's going to be actually during our live show. The game starts, believe it or not, 9:30 on Wednesday morning. I think I've got that time and date correct. So that'll be Georgia in the SEC tournament. So I guess we'll be doing a little bit of a watch-along here in our studio. Maybe we can figure out some way to get the game on one of the screens that we have around our studio here. We'll kind of talk about that and watch that as it takes place. It is also a Monday in which we're coming off the heels of a pretty big UGA recruiting weekend. The scavenger hunt, you know, that Jeff Sintel explained to us a bit on Friday, what that was going to be like for Georgia. Just sort of a fun way to kind of host a kind of a casual recruiting weekend here. It seems like that was a big hit. You saw the hashtag Find Kirby Smart stuff on social media a lot this weekend, as a lot of guys were doing that scavenger hunt, catching up with Kirby Smart, getting that photo taken with him as a part of the scavenger hunt there. It seems like that worked really really well. One of the guys who's a part of that was also pretty outspoken on social media this week. Keith Niebuhr, who is a 24/7 sports reporter, was talking about Owen Pappo's, of course you remember him as the five-star linebacker from Grayson, his belief that Auburn might put together a top-five class, and Nolan Smith, the leader of Georgia's 2019 class, had a great response to that on Twitter. Many of you mentioned this to me on social media this weekend, too. Niebuhr writes that five-star Auburn commit Owen Pappo predicts Tigers will have a top-five class. Nolan Smith's response to that is, after or before he flips to UGA. So Nolan Smith, who's been an outspoken leader for this Georgia class, really for the entirety of his commitment to Georgia, keeping that same standard alive here in terms of the pretty pithy response there to the story about Owen Pappo from 24/7 Sports. That's good stuff to see. And the recruiting talk is certainly heating up a bit this summer. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, we're going to be all over that. But for now, though, let's turn our attention back to the current Dogs, the ones in Athens and getting ready to take the field for 2018. Let's bring on Chip Towers. Nobody knows the story and the scene better than he does. It's good to have him with us. Good to have you with us as well as Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, rolls on right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Well, say hello to Chip Towers. Always fun to have him here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza on a Monday. And Chip, I do want to talk a lot of football with you, but I did mention the Diamond Dogs there for a bit off the top of the show. The softball team also has a nice weekend as well, advancing in their regional. They'll get ready to host Tennessee in a super regional here. You're in Athens every day. That's where you live. I live in Atlanta. But tell me about the buzz about these spring sports in Athens right now. Folks getting excited about the baseball team and the softball team here as they get ready to, in the softball team's case, continue its postseason run. In the baseball team's case, getting ready to start its. How much excitement is there in the Classic City about this right now?
Yeah, it's really cranking up a lot, Brandon, and it's great to see. The softball program's kind of under Lou Harris Champers kind of perennially been really good, and actually they were really, really great this year, and then they lost their ace pitcher Brittany Gray, and they've still fought gallantly and you know, obviously are still alive and hosting the super regional this week. But that sport is so dependent on great pitching and Brittany Gray, which is an unbelievably great pitcher. And they've got some unbelievable bats. Young lady hit three home runs the other day for them, and they're fun to watch. They've really been packing it out at Jack Turner Field all year. The Diamond Dogs have been a little bit later in sort of getting the buzz going on because obviously they struggled the last 4 years under Scott Strickland. But let me tell you, Brandon, I was over there this weekend. They're for real. They are fun to watch. They're going to be fun to watch from here on. They've got everything working for them. And then, I finally cover a game. Chris Lakos over there handles sports communication, been after me to, hey, when are you going to come over and cover one of our games? So I went over there Saturday to cover the game. And, you know, they win on a walk-off throwout at home plate. And that's kind of how they've been all year long, you know, just really – battle in every game and exciting to watch. So now they head over there. I heard you mention they got the good old 9:30 a.m. first pitch, yeah, on Wednesday, which is, but Scott Strickland said one of the things he likes about that is you know when you're going to play. I mean, you think about these tournament situations and you may be down for a 7 o'clock start, but it could be 9 o'clock before you actually start, you know, because those games notoriously run behind and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they love their spot, you know, early on a Wednesday, playing the team that will have played the night before. I believe it's the winner of Vandy and Texas A&M. So those guys will have barely gotten any sleep before they'll have to be back to the field. So considerable advantage getting that first round bye and number three seed. And now a super regional seems very, very possible for them. In fact, they probably ought to get one if they can take care of business in the regional. I think Georgia will probably host a super regional in baseball as well.
We don't get to talk a lot of baseball here on this show, but I know that you, like me, big baseball fan. And, you know, for my money, the most exciting play in the sport is how Georgia ended the game on Saturday. You throw a runner out from the outfield at home plate, I'll take that over a triple. I'll take it over a home run, the kind of things that you typically think of as the most exciting. There is just something thrilling about, you know, seeing that big arm from the outfield, throwing that runner out at the plate. Georgia executed perfectly on Saturday, and I don't think there's anything more exciting in baseball than the chance to do that.
Well, the funny thing about it, I didn't think about it until later, is so Keegan McGovern, of course, makes the play, and if guys aren't familiar with Georgia baseball, you know, remember that name. I mean, he's Mr. Everything for the Bulldogs this year. And he had already thrown somebody out at home plate on Thursday night, shallow fly ball right on the line. And the guy tags from third, and he just throws a perfect strike to get him out. But, the walk-off celebration, all was in left field. How often do you see that?
Yeah, that's right.
Mob that dog pile out in left field. And, you know how it is, Brandon. I mean, postseasons are all about momentum. They really, really are. Just like Georgia football last year or basketball in the NCAA tournament. And this team is hot. I don't think anybody wants any part of the Georgia Bulldogs right now.
I think that's very, very well said. So we started the show today with a little audio from Gus Malzahn saying he'd like to see kind of a return to, an odd year home schedule, I think, it'd be an odd year for Georgia, but a flip for the Georgia-Auburn rivalry, or a flip for, for one of the rivalries, he could stagger those so he's not playing Alabama and Georgia at home in the same year. I think this works out pretty well for Georgia, too, because of the imbalance that Georgia has with its home schedule. A lot of rivalry games this year, not as many traditional rivals in the odd-numbered years. I mean, is this just a no-brainer? Should these two teams flip back the way it was before the two-team expansion in 2012 and kind of go back to odd-year home games for Georgia against Auburn?
Well, I've got two comments for you there, Brandon. One, absolutely yes. And two, I don't really know why they have not been able to do that. I actually have struggled to get a straight answer from anybody about why this hasn't occurred already, because it is a problem for both teams. So what ends up happening is, Auburn played their biggest traditional rivals at home in the same year and then on the road in the same year. And same thing with Georgia. So that's flipped it around to where they're playing Auburn on the road and Tech on the road in the same year, which is disadvantageous to the road, to the team that's on the road playing both of those. And those schedules for years and years and years were intentionally set up to where you're not having to play both of those away in the same year. And if you look at Auburn and Georgia to some effect, like Georgia's got both those games at home this year, that should be good for them. Auburn's got both those games on the road this year. That should be bad for them. Last year, Auburn played Georgia and Alabama back-to-back at home. Jordan-Hare Stadium's a tough place to play. They won both of those games. Consequently, they were in the SEC championship game. So it was good this year, but Gus Malzahn knows it's going to be bad next year. I haven't been able to get Greg Sankey or anybody over there who handles the scheduling for SEC to directly tell me, what has to be done to flip this back. And you remember when they flipped this away, that was when Georgia suffered the prayer at Jordan-Hare, yeah. if I'm not mistaken. I mean, think about if the schedule hadn't – and they had to do this in order to fit, Missouri and Texas A&M, into the conference. But I don't know why they couldn't flip it back. And I need to – I'm going to see Greg McGarrity this week at the board meeting, and I'll make a point to try to pin him down on that. Now, he passes it off on the SEC, and we'll see, and play in the political game. But, we need to put some people's feet to the fire and find out what it's going to take to get that flip back. Because it needs to, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chip. This actually benefits both programs. And I think I also speak on behalf of Georgia fans to say when it does flip back, the only way it can happen is with Auburn coming to Georgia 2 years in a row to make up for the gift that that Georgia gave both Auburn and the SEC when it agreed to go to Jordan-Hare Stadium 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And maybe Georgia will win on the prayer at Sanford State.
From your lips to God's ears, Chip. Speaking of scheduling, I also talked about Athlon, the national publication that I enjoy. They ranked Georgia as the second easiest schedule in the SEC. And, Chip, this is one of those things where when you've got one of these schedules that comes your way next year with Notre Dame coming to Athens, odds are dogs won't probably rank among the easier schedules. But when you've got this opportunity – you got to take advantage of it, right? Georgia lost a lot of leadership, a lot of talent from the 2017 team, but this is an opportunity for Kirby Smart to really sort of take advantage of what is at least nationally being viewed as a somewhat soft schedule here.
Yeah, I can hear Kirby's voice in my head now, already talking about easy schedule. That's a double-edged sword because, I mean, I get it. I mean, definitely, Georgia's going, to South Carolina and to Missouri in the first month of the season, and if you look at those teams, resume in recent years, that they certainly, you don't feel like you're climbing Mount Everest. But the flip side of that, Brandon, as you know and I know, and I've said this very sentence on this show before, when Georgia in particular plays South Carolina in the SEC opener at Columbia, it's going to be 100 degrees that day in Columbia. The chickens are going to be in mass hysteria because they love playing Georgia. That's one of their biggest games, and it's a huge – it's a tough game. And listen, Columbia, Missouri, that's a tough place to get to. That's a tough place to go. It's tough travel. You should be better than Missouri. But if you look, both of these teams arguably have two of the best quarterbacks in the league. And whenever you're facing a good quarterback, that's tough. So I'm not going to necessarily, agree that this is the easiest schedule in the world. You're playing two conference games on the road early in the season. That said, yes, Georgia, it is a manageable schedule, and Georgia's toughest games generally are at home, so you should be able to handle it. But yeah, I got Kirby's voice in my head, right now. I mean, it's like let me talk to you about the easy schedule.
So the last couple of days, there have been some photos emerged from Jake Fromm on social media. I guess he gets a fishing lure stuck in his leg. He goes to the hospital to get this taken care of. For those watching on video, I think we have some stuff from Jake's Instagram account to kind of show you of this. I mean, this is one of those things, Chip, obviously young men are going to want to enjoy their summer, their off-season time. And normally for Jake Fromm, you think of him as being sort of one of the safer, cases of off-season fun, one of the least likely guys to get himself in trouble or maybe even getting hurt. But I guess the fishing lure has sort of, risen up and cause a little trouble here, I guess.
Yeah, what if that thing gets infected, right? That's what everybody's saying.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I remember one year Aaron Murray, I think, sprained his ankle playing soccer or something like that. And all of these guys, I mean, I've seen them over at the Ramsey Center. They love to play pickup basketball. I mean, they're competitors and athletes. And as fans, we'd like to all put them in, bubble wrap and stick them in their dorm room and tell them not to move. Until next fall, but that's not reality. That's not life. And you'd think, that hunting and fishing is about as safe of a exercise as you can possibly do. But the two things came to mind when I saw that. I was like, ouch, man, that is really in there bad. And knowing that he's a fisherman, I know that's not the first time that it happened. In fact, one of my great claims to fame in my family was I caught my dad's ear the very same way.
Oh, my gosh.
Casting it. Now, the good news is your ear, they pierce them all the time. So my dad was able to pull it out of his ear there on the spot. But, any fisherman has had that happen to him in some way, shape, or form. And I would imagine it's going to be barely a hiccup in the progress that is Jake Fromm.
I don't mind telling you, this is not where I thought this conversation was going to be going. The fact that you caught your dad's ear in a fishing lure, that must have hurt like the dickens.
It did. I did so many things to my poor father, God rest his soul. But, I do remember that. I think we were at Stone Mountain Park, and it was one of those early years, kind of teaching me how to fish. And he's, sort of standing behind me, telling me how to do it. And I caught him right in the ear and just about jerked him in the water.
That's a great story. I talked on Friday, Chip, about quarterbacks, and I kind of compared the Georgia situation to the Alabama situation. Obviously, none of us know yet how the Fromm field thing is going to play out both this year and over the course of the next couple of years. But so far, it's better than the Alabama situation where you've got Jalen Hurts' dad who sort of threatened the transfer. You've got Tua Tagovailoa who apparently talked to Lane Kiffin about his desire to transfer had he not played in the national championship game, then said the same, essentially the same thing in a motivational speech in Hawaii here. Is it fair to say that there has been a little bit more drama in the Alabama quarterback competition this offseason than what we've likely to get from Fromm and Fields here?
Well, that we know of, but, here I do think that Georgia's definitely got a better situation, and, I don't know that much about Jalen Hurts or Tua's personality or anything like that, but I know Georgia's really got two winners in these guys and very, very intelligent. Now, we're barely into this thing, and you didn't hear any complaints about those two guys heading into last season. So it's really when you get in the throes of competition, because here's the reality, as great as he is and is wonderful of the glimpses are that we've seen of Justin Fields. At the end of the day, we don't know. You know, we don't know how he can perform in front of 90,000 people in a national television audience. We just don't know it. Now, if we see it and it becomes a situation, then you know things might be a little bit different. The bottom line is you can only play one quarterback generally. Very few people even attempt to platoon them anymore, and transfers and everything aren't uncommon. That's why, again, we've told the story a number of times, and you've had DJ Shockley on. I still think is one of the most amazing, gracious episodes in sports was that DJ Shockley, as good as he was patient enough and remained with his team, even though he had offers to transfer to Florida State and a bunch of other places to be the man. He preferred to stay at Georgia and waited his time, and then goes out and leads Georgia to the 2005 SEC championship after playing 3 years behind David Green. So who knows how this one is going to play out, but I know both of these guys are special, not just in their athletic abilities, but in everything else about them, not the least of which is teammanship. Justin Fields doesn't come to Georgia if he doesn't feel pretty good about what the situation's going to look like. So right now it's butterflies and bows. We'll see once we get into the throes of the season.
I think that's well said, Chip. It's good stuff. We'll look forward to reading a whole bunch more from you at DogNation.com this week, and we'll look forward to speaking to you here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, again very soon too.
You got it, bud.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Great stuff there from Chip Towers, of course, doing a great job covering the Dogs here for DogNation.com. I love his insight. A lot of times I call it institutional memory. You know, Chip's been around. He knows the stories. You know, he compares what's happening between Fromm and Fields right now to what happened in the DJ Shockley era. And that kind of backstory, that kind of deep understanding of the history of Georgia football, I think makes Chip's coverage here at DogNation.com really irreplaceable, and I'm glad to have him as a teammate here. One of the things I wanted to get into with Chip, we just sort of ran out of time. He'd also written in one of his questions of the day this past week about, the likelihood that Georgia plays faster on offense in 2018. He sort of cited some reasons why he thinks that could be a possibility. You know, Georgia and Kirby Smart's sort of spoken words about more RPO plays, things like that. I think that's kind of a fascinating, topic. I invite you to go read that at DogNation.com. I mean, ultimately, I think there's a two-edged sword here. On the one hand, the strength of the Alabama offense during the Lane Kiffin era was they were able to pair that up-tempo passing attack with the power running game, and they became virtually unstoppable in those 3 years, 2014 through 2016, because of the way that Lane Kiffin kind of meshed those two things together. When Kirby Smart took the Georgia job, his initial press conference made you think that was sort of the blueprint for this Georgia offense as well, to blend the power running game with the up-tempo some spread elements and kind of attack it that way. And I think that maybe in year three here is when Kirby Smart really does try to add some more of that into the mix here, especially given the fact that both Fromm and Fields, Fromm in particular as the current starter, would seem to be perfectly fit for that kind of stuff. Fromm, as I've said, is a good, quick decision maker. He takes the snap. His first read is almost always a good one. Maybe not the best possible read of all, but that first read is almost always an acceptable throw to make. And he generally makes it pretty quickly. He's a really good, quick decision maker. On the other hand, though, and I'll say the same thing about Georgia that I say about South Carolina, Gamecocks spent a lot of the spring talking about how much faster they want to play on offense. The problem with that ends up being, though, defensive-minded coach and Will Muschamp, is he really going to make a decision on offense that puts his defense behind the eight ball? I think the answer ends up being no for South Carolina. At Georgia, the talent is better. So you can take some experimental steps. You can sort of take some risks that you can't take in a place like South Carolina, which still, by comparison to Georgia, has a pretty thin roster. But ultimately, you're still talking about a defensive-minded head coach here in Kirby Smart. And is he going to run an offense that makes it harder for his defense to get stops? I think his instincts may take over at a certain point in time. And maybe that's not necessarily the case, but you ought to read that from Chip Towers. It was very good. All right, let me transition to our SEC through. I'll invite you to check us out on SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. Eastern Time this afternoon on the SEC Country Facebook page. And the saga of Joe Burrow is finally over. Burrow, the former Ohio State quarterback, announced his intention to transfer. It was supposedly a two-team race for a while between Cincinnati and LSU. This after, at one point in time, he was thought to be in the mix for Florida. Florida, I guess, just never got involved, either by its own choosing or by Burrow's choosing. And then he visits North Carolina. Maybe he's not going to LSU after all. And, well, the story finally comes to a close. Joe Burrow has picked LSU. Burrow will be a part of the 2018 Tigers. This is obviously relevant for Georgia, given the fact that the Dogs go to Baton Rouge. And my guess is, unless it is just an unmitigated disaster, Joe Burrow will emerge as the starting quarterback, given the fact that the three quarterbacks currently at LSU, Justin McMillan and Lowell Narcisse and Miles Brennan, really none of the three did anything to distinguish themselves this spring. I thought some good stats from Brennan during some scrimmages might have meant that Brennan was on his way to maybe being a capable starter, but he didn't match that performance in the spring game, something everyone got to see with their own eyes. Ed Orgeron himself was pretty clear about the fact that the spring game put on display what he'd been noticing the entire time behind closed doors, that one guy would have a good game one day or a good practice, good scrimmage one day. The next day it would be somebody else's turn, and yet nobody really ever had that consistent performance. You can't evaluate four quarterbacks equally. The fact that they're even bringing in Burrow means I think they've evaluated the three quarterbacks they currently have and have found them wanting. As I said, I think it's an unmitigated disaster for LSU if Burrow's not starting against Georgia. And for Georgia, I think LSU probably just got a little bit tougher to beat, but we'll let this see how it plays out. After all, don't forget, you know, the Haskins kid who's going to end up starting in Ohio State is a good quarterback. You know, Burrow leaving Ohio State because he didn't win the starting job, I mean, you know, the person that ends up beating him out is a pretty good player. So I don't think that's necessarily a knock on Burrow, but this will be one of those interesting stories to follow once he starts practicing there at LSU and how quickly he can take on that offense. I will say here, as we kind of keep the SEC through going, that Tua Tagovailoa has followed up on the quotes we talked about here on Friday on Dog Nation Daily about his desire to transfer had he not played the national championship game. He told a Birmingham TV reporter those quotes were taken out of context. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, we read them, you know, verbatim right here on air. He explicitly stated that he was leaving. Now, maybe he said this in sort of a motivational sense. Maybe he's embellishing the story. But given everything else that's gone on there, including some of the reporters' beliefs that the commitment of his brother, Tua Tagovailoa, is in itself a attempt to leverage strength and position over Jalen Hurts here, it's hard to imagine these words from Tua Tagovailoa about saying he would have transferred had he not played the national championship game. It's hard not to take those at face value. I think the Alabama quarterback situation right now is veering the direction of a controversy, partially by Tua's doing, partially by the Hurts camp's doing here. I think Nick Saban's got a bit of a mess to deal with this summer, and ultimately he'll probably handle it fine. But for now, it is a bit of a mess. And I'll also – well, actually, let me mention something serious, and then I'll mention something a little bit more lighthearted. Condolences go out. Another loss here for the SEC during this offseason. The LSU legend Billy Cannon, who, you know, I think, you know, longtime fans will certainly remember his time there. A great punt return against Ole Miss, I think, comes to mind. Just one of the great players, probably the greatest player in LSU history. He passes away, and when you think about Mike Slive and Andy Johnson from Georgia recently, Billy Brewer, it's been a sad offseason for the SEC here, as many of the league's legends have passed here this offseason. But we certainly send our prayers to the LSU family, the Cannon family, on the passing of one of the great players in SEC history. With that said, one more quick SEC story to get to. This is a lot more lighthearted, but Florida hosted its big it's like a barbecue. It's like a big recruiting event. This is the big, you know, Big Cat Weekend, the old dog night type thing. I think that's the kind of vein in which the Florida barbecue was in this weekend, trying to really cause a big commotion with the recruits. And I guess there was some controversy in that a couple of the recruits that were on hand flashed the U symbol. And Kadarius Toney, the very good Florida offensive player, made notice this. He kind of complained about it on Twitter. Then some people had to apologize. Some recruits had to apologize for this. And so I guess there was a little bit of controversy involving the Florida recruiting night, which, listen, around here, obviously we have some fun with that kind of stuff. So I think overall, Florida considers what it did a success this weekend with the barbecue. A lot of folks were impressed, but at least a couple current Gator players had reason to complain about the behavior of some of the recruits while they were on the Florida campus, which certainly caught our eye, and we're going to have a little fun with that here on our Dog Nation Daily, and we'll make that your SEC through. And now here on the program, let me go back to the beginning of the show. You know, we talked about the need to flip-flop the Georgia-Auburn rivalry. That's maybe what Gus Malzahn wants to do. He didn't specify Georgia, but he just wants to break up the schedule for both Georgia and Alabama for him. Their home games in the same year, their road games in the same year. He'd like to alter that and stagger that a bit. And so our Dog Day Q&A question for today is this something that Georgia fans can agree with Malzahn on, that Georgia ought to stagger the Auburn rivalry here so it's not having to play – not it's not a difficulty necessarily, but just a convenience factor of, you know, right now you've got Tennessee, Auburn, Georgia Tech as home games in the same year. Move one of those rivalry games back to the odd-numbered year, which where Auburn used to be. Is that something you'd like to do? It's our Dog Day Q&A question today. You can weigh in on that, and we'll have some time for some of those here during the podcast and the radio program, and then we'll continue our video comments in just a couple of minutes there as well. So you can kind of weigh in on that. We'll take some questions on both Twitter and YouTube and Facebook as we kind of get that rolling here. And, of course, if you listen to the show, don't get a chance to comment live during video, you can always hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily too. So a lot of folks weighing in on a lot of different stuff. Cameron Merrill, going back to the Tua Tagovailoa comment on YouTube, saying that Tua is owning Saban right now. And I guess I kind of agree with that a bit here, that, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, who's generally sort of thought of is kind of a good guy, you know, kind of a leader and a sort of a player that coaches like. So I think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt during this situation. But there is also part of me that thinks that what he said in Hawaii was intentional, because he believes it enough that that's not the only time he said it. You know, Lane Kiffin was quoted during a radio interview as saying that he had heard that Tua Tagovailoa was going to transfer. So he has used some of this to his advantage before. And the kind of things that Tua said publicly, the kind of things that Jalen Hurts' dad has said publicly, these are not the kind of things that you hear coming out of the Georgia quarterback camp. And I think for Georgia, that's overall a pretty good thing, that it's being handled. It's being handled overall better than it's being handled there at Alabama, which is kind of a nice thing for Georgia fans to think about. We'll keep the comments going here on video, and if you want to weigh in, you know, to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, the way to do that. All right, for now, though, we need to get ready to wrap up our regular broadcast here today. A couple things to say before we get ready to close out. Of course, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, we're big believers that a good Georgia fan is a Gator hater first and foremost. Our buddy Eddie the Blind Squirrel feels that way. We all feel that way. And 159 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, and gets a victory over the Florida Gators again. It's our Gator Hater Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily. Let me also say, and Chip Towers was talking about this a moment ago, and we talked a little Diamond Dogs baseball earlier in the show. Congratulations to UGA softball here as well, advancing through the Athens Regional. Now get ready to host a Super Regional against SEC rival Tennessee. It's always fun when you get these SEC teams matched up in Super Regionals together, so we wish the UGA softball team luck as it gets ready to take on Tennessee there. Also, check out DogNation.com. Some interesting quotes from former UGA linebacker Alec Ogletree, as quoted by the New York Post. But his time at UGA, kind of some interesting stuff from the New York Giants star there. And we'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.